CJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
You are listening to The Other Note on CJSF Radio 90.1 FM. And this is going to be a very fun and hopefully for all of us listeners, new edition or different edition of The Other Note, because I am joined for this interview with the Figs Band out of Victoria. Can you guys, thank you. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves really quickly to the audience?
Hi, I'm Grady and I play the keyboard.
Hi, I'm Braden. I play the bass.
My name's Tasha and I sang.
I'm Isaac and I play saxophones.
My name is Guillaume. I play guitar.
I'm Seth and I play the drums.
Awesome. So, like, it's interesting because before we started this, you guys mentioned that you're not all from Victoria. So I'm curious, how did you guys all make it to Victoria? And how did the band form?
I came out to Victoria just before COVID. I came from Ontario. My mate bought an RV. He didn't have a driver's license. I drove him across the country to Qualicum and never came back because it's so nice out here. And then I found my way to Victoria and got into the music scene through the Quadratic Jam Sessions. I don't know if you've heard of Quadratic Sound. They're a studio out here. That was also where I met Tasha because she was also in the jam scene.
It was a barefoot, dirty hippie, and I was very keen to make fun of him, and eventually he let me play music with him, but that was after the point he'd already been playing music with a couple of these guys in a couple different bands, and I was kind of like the fangirl, and then they eventually let me join the band.
It turns out she was the best improviser among us.
I do not think so, but fake it till you make it, baby. And then we picked up Braden after we lost our lovely bassist, James Spencer, who's now a Vancouver-based jazz and rock guitarist and bass player. He's wonderful. And then we picked up Seth at a party after he graciously recorded our set for us. And then we were like, you want to step in? Because we were playing with TK the artist at one point, and he's also wonderfully independent now. So yeah, it's just an amalgamation through kind of like the community scene specifically of like playing music with other people. I think all of us are very socially driven.
Nice. So when I was looking you guys up, I saw that Guillaume and Isaac, you guys were part of Blase Blase, but you guys also mentioned a few other bands. So are you guys like an amalgamation of like two, three more bands? Like what are the all the ways you guys came together?
There was a party gig for something at Tasha's house, if I remember correctly, and I was supposed to get TK's bands because I was just sort of getting involved with TK to play, but it turns out that none of them, except for me and TK, were available. So I, Guillaume and Grady and a few other cats as substitutes, and then that band just kind of stuck together. And eventually we kind of cycled through some personnel to find just the right mix. That's kind of where we're at today.
No, that's super cool. So I think that this is a good time for us to kick it to the first two songs on your album. We have Phoenix and then we have Paradise is a Paradox. What do you guys want to tell us about those first two songs before we play them?
Grady?
I wrote Phoenix on Mile Zero and my girlfriend at the time played clarinet and could only play a few notes in a row. So I kind of wrote it for those ascending lines. And then the rest just kind of fell together. Yeah.
That's some cool band lore, and I'm glad that I got the exclusive for the Other Note. So anything you guys want to say about Paradise is a Paradox? That's a really cool song. Are there any ideas that you guys, you know, want to let us in on?
Oh, thank you. I wrote that song on the ukulele like 5 years ago. I also only knew a few chords back then. I was the girlfriend, not this girlfriend, but I was another version of her. And I wrote that song about chasing perfection and just how sometimes, you know, you just got to be mindful with what's in front of you, a little more gracious with yourself in the present moment. I'm a bit of a planner, a chronic optimizer, I like to call myself.
Thank you, Tasha.
But it also pulls you out of the moment a lot of the time. So I think that song was all about, you know, shut up, sit down. Life kind of continued to remind me of like opening your eyes and, you know, getting off, getting off tomorrow and getting into today. So I brought that concept. It was very like rough and tumble, just some words, and I brought it to the lads. And then they, once Grady had his little whoa, whoa, whoa on it, it was forever changed for the better. So I'm very grateful that they took my dinky little idea and elevated it. And then near the end, you'll hear this, definitely like a charge of energy. And I, what's the word? I give a lot of the props of that to Mr. Seth, because he and I get to lose our shit a little bit. And it's really awesome. Fun. Yeah, yeah.
That's great. So now we've got the introduction to Phoenix and Paradise is a Paradox. You are listening to The Figs on the Other Note, CJSF 91.FM.
I will feel you each time I'm near you. You always see through my disguise. I'm a phoenix and lost my flame. My heart was broken, it's got to open, or else I will be stuck inside. I'm a phoenix and lost my want you, it feels so wrong to, I know you long to, I'm so shy, I'm a phoenix and I lost my flame, I hope that in time you'll bring me sunshine, the moon will come and turn the tide, I'm a phoenix and I lost my flame, and I don't want to let the fire burn out, no more trembling. My heart is feeling so alive. I'm a phoenix and found my
when I close my eyes. But life, she had plans for me. She said, girl, stand up tall, 'cause your ego is killing me. Spend some time with your soul. Paradise is a paradise, she says to me, and I don't know why it's hard to find what does not exist. Paradise is a paradise, she says to me, oh, oh, oh. I don't know why I start to cry when it all turns out fine. Collaborate and listen. No, you got a five star view in front of you. Don't you see what you're missing? You're gonna lose yourself in the chasing. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the sensation. Yeah. I missed a few. If I count up all my blessings, it's true, I got a few. If I stop to smell the rose, I suppose I might notice all the picture-perfect moments that pass right by the noses. Cause we're freaky motherfuckers trying to figure out a way. Squeeze out a little meaning out of each and every day. But you won't be satisfied until you're here and you are now. Paradox of paradise, it got you foaming at the mouth. So girl, come over, let me whisper in your ear. Tell me a couple things I bet you really wanna hear. Nothing is perfect, but girl, you deserve it. Your dreams are a gift from the child you were birthed with. Loosen your grip, girl, you're not in control. It's time to get what you take. Paradise is paradise, she says to me. And I don't know why it's hard to find. But there's nothing since the paradise is a paradise, she says to me. And I don't know why I start to cry, but it all turns out. But paradise is a paradise, she says to me.
And we are back. You just heard Paradise is a Paradox and then Phoenix by The Figs. Those are definitely like really cool songs, and it was something I really enjoyed when I was listening to your guys' album. I have to ask though, like, how does the Victoria scene feel? Because you guys have a very unique sound and you're very different from a lot of the other groups that I've heard. Like, do you guys find that there's enough space for you in Victoria? Or
I lead a few jazz groups around town, leading trios and other things, and I'd say there's a pretty decent space for the jazz feel, but in a lot of ways we're one of the only groups doing what we do around town. There's a lot of great jazz musicians that are older in town that I like to work with, but I'd say there's sort of a disconnect between that stuff. So it's really, I really enjoy bringing sort of a jazz flavor to our community.
One thing that really surprised me when we started unfurling this group to the audiences was just how much people came to our shows and kept coming to our shows. It really is heart-filling to see the same faces come again and again, and to really feel like we have such a supportive community and base of people that really love what we're doing. And it's something that I find unique to this band and something that really motivates me personally to continue forging on in this path.
No, that's great. So I guess you guys are feeling like you're finding, creating a home and creating a fan base in Victoria.
Oh yeah, definitely. We had over 250 to 300 people at our album release a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
And it was really inspiring, not only to like be there in the moment, but we recorded the set, so we got to listen back and just like hear our music get received by our family of crew and a lot of new people that we got to meet for the first time. And yeah, we've always been a band though that's like, hire us for your house party, because we just want to, we love being kind of like on the same level as the crowd and just like engaging with the people in the room. Mm-hmm. And also calling up all of our wonderful, like, that's the beauty of, I feel like, jazz music in a lot of ways, where you can kind of like hold it down. You can bring so many different sounds through the form. And we're really lucky to know a lot of friends that are just very community minded and like about the experience of sharing music rather than, you know, 100% getting it perfect, you know, diving into complete obsession mindset. So the second half of our show was also all about honoring the community that helped this band become something. So that involved like Wes Carroll. It involved, who else was there?
Katie, I'm blanking.
Katie Savard has been a wonderful connection. Andrew Greenwood was there. And yeah, just a bunch of other wonderful musicians that are down for the sake of play. And I do think that our community has a lot of, you know, joy and playfulness in music, which can be something that you can kind of get a little lost in the sauce with.
Circling back to your original question of, does it feel as though there's space for us? I think that that's a really interesting question, because I think for a lot of bands, it feels like there isn't space no matter what you're doing, because the economic structure of how venues work has changed so rapidly. And I believe that a huge part of the reason why we've been able to continue and why we've been able to gig regularly and afford to do an album has been because Tasha has the organizational skills and the capability to make a lot of our own gigs rather than relying on outside event producers or venues to do that legwork.
Thank you.
No, that's, no, that's super good. And that's a great layup for my next question here. So like, how long did it take you guys to write and record the album? Like, was it a long process? Did it come together quickly?
Brayden, you want to talk about
it? Yeah, I think it really started around fall of 2024, right? Mm-hmm. We decided to contact a friend of mine in Kamloops named Amelia Peñota, who is in this crazy cool band called Mother Son, and he has this studio called Holy Cow. And we wanted a little retreat. So we decided to go out there for like, what, a week? Was it a week or 10 days? 8 days?
Nine days in studio.
Yeah, so like a bunch of days. And so we spent, I think, what, like it was March, so I don't know, a good half a year writing and really rehearsing what the album would be. Yeah. But I feel like when we got to the studio, a lot of what the album actually is really became that there, you know. I think a lot of the magic that really I enjoy from the album was stuff that happened right in the studio and not in the 6 months prior.
I also want to say that a lot of the album did start with Live Off the Floor altogether. When we did do some like substitutions later on, we were trying to capture, we've always been like, we're best when we're live band. So a lot of the benefit of being in a studio just meant we could fully hear each other as much as we, the best that we ever could before. And we just were able to capture the energy of all of us kind of really connecting in the moment. And I think that was also to save time, because most people record an album over like months, but we did it in, you know, 8 or 9 days. And we also had a live show in the middle of all of that, an engagement and a birthday. Isaac and I got engaged in the studio during this album.
Nice.
So it was truly a wonderful family bonding moment.
Oh, no, that's great. So let me now ask, going into the next three songs, we have Come Through, Rainbow Road, and Food for Thought. What are the things, are there any ideas or pieces of intro that you guys want to put out for those three songs?
Sure. I mean, Come Through had very humble origins. I have a vague memory of being at a house jam at your house, which was my house then, and being like, I want to play something that's kind of got a Latin feel. And I just kind of started doing some triad stuff. And for whatever reason, that particular bass line stuck. And we wrote a whole song around that. Yeah, that bit was like a bit of a touching point throughout the whole composition. And then various different sections got introduced in the outro. You wrote the outro. Yeah. That was Seth's. Yeah.
That's my one child that I wrote in this band.
So far.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah, there's
it's really kind of two songs in one because of that, but we're a sucker for a tasty transition, and Grady just takes us in this beautiful transition. And I always, whenever we're playing it live, ask the audience to go underwater with us. And in the music video for this song, we do go underwater. We got an underwater camera, and we were like, you know, filming in the ocean. And it was quite like a visual thing that's always stuck with me with the second half of the song. And I always ask the audience, you're all fish now, I'm swimming around with me. And then Seth just goes crazy, which is really fun.
I basically wrote it to be this weird psychedelic trap hop thing that is combined with our weird jazz sound. So it's like a weird trap beat, but like gets really loud and washy, and it's cool. It's fun.
And then again, in our way of being a sucker for transitions, we realized this wonderful song that Guillaume wrote, and I'm going to get him to speak about it, fit perfectly on the tail end of it. So the goal is to listen to Come Through and Rainbow Road back to back. You kind of get guided again by Grady's little alien man into a wonderful song that I'll get Guillaume to talk about.
Thanks, Tasha. Yeah, so the next song after Come Through, we're calling it now, is called Rainbow Road. And it's one of the few songs that I've penned for this band, specifically with it being meant to be played by these exceptional players. And I guess what originally drew me to the idea was in looking at the potential tentative track listing for what we're doing on the album, there was a lot of like exclamative, dense sort of intellectual music. And I felt like, you know, we can still have that intellectualism, but have a bit of a breath of fresh air and give a bit more space to the album. And so my guiding principles were intellectual but approachable.
Nice.
And something that resonates without overcomplicating. But if you really listen, there's depth there. Mm. And a small tidbit is that it wasn't actually supposed to be on the album. We had talked about it and we had decided as a group that it was too new, too fresh. And we didn't have all the parts figured out. We just had like a riff. But then I remember we had like a really good take of Come Through. And instinctively, I just slided that chord up to that D sus. And thankfully, Seth and Braden, who were laying down beds at the same time as I was, followed through. And then all of a sudden, we just played it beginning to end, solo included. And then we added the other parts on top. And so what I love about it is that it's a true one take Tony.
That's super cool. That's very cool. All right. And then is there anything you guys want to say about Food for Thought before we get into that?
Oh, yeah. Food for Thought started because I didn't know how to count. And still I don't.
Tries his best, though.
I came up with a nice riff, and when I wrote it down, I realized, damn, it's got 5 beats. Hmm. And no matter which way I changed it, I couldn't make it work in any other metric.
Other than five.
And it's not just in 5. Yeah. Because in order to really make it work, we had to add a bar of 4 at the end of every 4-bar phrase. So we wind up with 3 bars of 5 and 1 bar of 4.
That's
but it
super
was originally
cool.
meant to just sound nice because I was riffing on G minor pentatonic over an E flat major 9 chord.
And
True. Yeah, I was forced to play flute for this, which was unfortunate for everybody.
But... Great job. And also, there is a part of the song where we break into clapping. And anytime we play that live, the audience thinks they have it in the pocket with us. And then on that spooky little blast bar, they lose it completely. And everyone goes, oh!
That's funny. Well, that's...
Something to say on that too, sorry.
Oh, go on.
I challenge the listener to find the one extra bar of 5 in the song.
So there's like a little bit of a hide and seek game.
There's one glitch. There's one glitch in the matrix. And if you can find it.
Well, all right. So we're going to listen to Come Through, Rainbow Road, and Food for Thought, all by The Figs. This is The Other Note on CJSF Radio 90.1 FM.